Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing Board or...
Miro! All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey.
Hey.
Welcome to episode 11.
Take two.
This is take one. They didn't hear the other one. A bad day not to be pregnant.
Yes.
Yes. This episode's going to be a little deep. You know, we had like a rough weekend over Mother's Day weekend. But before we get into that.
Yes.
Last week's episode, we asked for listeners to send in an embarrassing story because Randy didn't want to feel alone.
I did not.
She didn't. And one of our listeners came through.
She did.
And we really appreciate it. Now, she's bold enough to tell us that we don't have to bleep out any names. So I'm just going to read the message verbatim. You ready?
Yeah.
Hey, y'all. FYI, I'm obsessed with the podcast. I get so excited when I get the notification.
Hey.
Randy, your story had me laughing out loud on the bus. I cannot with y'all. It definitely reminded me of when me and Dwight first started dating about a year in, and I decided to do a romantic indoor picnic for Dwight.
Oh.
I had candles all around the living room, a blanket, and champagne. I was all dressed up in lingerie and some ridiculously high heel pumps on. Dwight was on the floor watching me walk up to him with the champagne and flutes on the ground.
I'm sorry.
Then all of a sudden, my ankles gave out on me. With those damn heels on. Sort of like when Bambi first started walking. I don't remember that part. Sort of like when Bambi first started walking. LOL. Anyway, I kicked the champagne bottle and it exploded all over Dwight.
Oh,
the champagne got in his eyes and burned his eyes. Something serious. Long story short, I ain't get no action or champagne. And I had to take care of my poor baby with his burning eyes. I love y'all more than I can express in words. Keep doing y'all thing. I support you guys no matter what you do. P.S. I miss words with Randy. But the podcast will suffice.
Oh, thanks, Jill.
Oh, yeah. And you can say my name. I ain't no punk. Jill.
That was
my big sister.
Yes. That was one of Mikey's big sisters, and
out here blinding niggas, just kicking champagne
to
people's eyes.
So funny. We had been putting off checking the email, hoping someone would respond to us.
I was just gonna make a story.
He was. Mikey was talking about being inauthentic. I'm like, Mikey,
inauthentic. It was gonna be a real story. Just
you were going to lie.
I wasn't gonna lie.
Yes, you were.
I would have made it the names anonymous. It doesn't matter. We didn't have to because one of our great listeners sent us a story and we really appreciate it.
And Jill, you'll go on the name generator when it's time for giveaways more than once.
More than once. Good luck, sis.
That was nice.
All right. This is episode 11.
We hope you enjoy.
Now check it out. Now look, the apple don't fall far from trees, right? I'm in the land of milk and honey with the bees, like. And if I'm ripping it, what I'm so with my seeds, like. Now check it out.
Welcome.
Hey, y'all.
This is episode 11 of the Black Millennial Marriage Podcast.
Yes.
With your host, Mikey.
And Randy.
And I'm Mikey.
And I'm Randy.
This episode, we're going to talk about a challenge we had over Mother's Day weekend. This will possibly be a rough discussion. The wife and I kind of had a nice deep talk about it when we were planning for this episode. So maybe this won't suck as much now because we did that.
Yeah. So, but if you do suddenly hear crying, just skip, you know?
Okay.
But we should be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Skip to the fight or flight. We're going to share a very unfortunate argument that we had and talk about some errors in communication and readdress the dangers of expectations. We're going to get into why we struggled and how we bounce back. And hopefully at the end of this episode, somebody out there will be inspired to share with us some ways you bounce back from bad days, because we're not the only ones that have them.
Right. And we wanted to have this episode because we did a miscarriage episode, but we didn't want it to seem like the episode's out the way. And so those feelings are out the way.
Yeah.
And so we want to be honest about when it comes up again in a very sad way.
Because when you're with someone for long enough, shit repeats. And things don't just fade immediately.
Yeah, grief
and things
is
as difficult as grief, yes, aren't short-lived.
Though we really wish they were.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But before we get into that, the lovely is going to share a love story with us this week.
Yeah.
So what you got for us, wifey?
Well, I tapped into my inner Mikey.
Ooh, what'd you do?
And I tried to find a love story that was around the theme of our episode. Hood?
Oh.
It is not a hood episode.
So then you didn't tap into your inner Mikey.
The theme into the episode, how you try to do.
Gotcha.
I got this from our Google Alerts. I set up Google Alerts for love stories since y'all don't send them. And I got this from WUSA9.com.
That sounds real.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So it's like it's a story inside of a story inside of a story.
Oh, it's Inception.
Kind of, sort of. Yeah. So there's this place called Forever Angels of Virginia. And they create infant burial gowns for parents. And they do this off of dresses, preferably wedding dresses, because those are very usually, you know, nice, lacy. And they can be made into a multitude of dresses. They can be made into a multitude of dresses.
Okay.
Dresses. And so they're for parents who have lost children through miscarriages, stillbirths, or premature death. So maybe like crib infant death or something. I don't know. But for children who've lost parents. And so one of the donations came from a widower named Kai Kendall. I don't know if I said his name right. It's spelled KUYKENDALL.
Sounds right.
Okay. So he brought in his wife's, two of his wife's dresses. They were married in 1958 after only dating for a month. And their wedding day, he said, is etched into his mind. Like it's one of his favorite days. Kind of like you. You say about our wedding day. So anyway, he said it was her that he was marrying and not the gown, but it was still hard for him to part with it. But he wanted, you know, to do something good with the dress to honor his wife. And she died 8 years before he actually sent her dresses to them.
Okay.
Are you following?
Yes.
So almost a year to the day that he dropped the dresses off, he came back to see what they had done with it. And out of her two dresses, they made 31 infant burial gowns out of her dresses. And he was just very happy and touched that he was able to do something nice with, you know, something that meant something to someone, to like honor his wife's life and death. And their wedding, which is one of his favorite days. And they were married for 51 years.
Okay.
And I thought it was just a nice, something nice to do. And they had a long marriage. And he was still very much in love with her.
That's what you think?
You don't think?
I'm still being in love with you after?
Maybe.
No, that was nice. That was nice. I don't know. I don't imagine I'd be any good to anybody if you died first.
Well, they were married in 58. Mm-hmm. So at this point, he's pretty old. Oh, okay. They didn't say how old he was, but they were married for 51 years.
Gotcha.
So yeah, I think he's pretty up in age. So maybe some wisdom and some time. It did take him 8 years, though.
That's nice. So his wife's dresses were turned into smaller
gowns for parents who had lost kids.
That's cool.
Yeah. Thirty-one dresses, some booties that go on baby's feet,
okay,
and diapers.
That's sad.
It's a little sad, but you know, what else do you bury your child in? You know, that's like nice.
I genuinely don't know.
Yeah. So it's thoughtful, and they've served a lot of parents, like over like several hundred of parents have used them, and all of their gowns are free. So, yeah, that's my love story.
Well, thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, love stories are interesting.
I try to keep it spicy.
Spicy? Maybe spicy. You're a little dark.
I just try to keep them a little. Well, I've been a little dark lately.
You have?
But no, I still try to see some. Shut up. I still try to see some light in it. It was nice.
Yes.
And they like got Batman. A really long marriage.
Okay.
But I communicate better than Batman.
That's not true. Batman's a genius.
I said communicate better than Batman.
That's true. He don't talk well.
He don't talk at all.
Oh, we need to have an episode about Batman. But for now, you ready to get into our main topic?
Yeah.
For the day?
Yes.
All right. So again, the name of this episode is A Bad Day Not to Be Pregnant.
To not be pregnant.
That ain't what it said at the top of this paper.
That's what I put on Instagram.
That's fine. We'll switch
it up. Y'all know this episode. Sorry.
Name of the episode is A Bad Day. All right. On this bad day, obviously, there are things we should talk about. So before we do, let's just start by sharing, you know, a little bit about Mother's Day.
Okay.
So that day, we recorded an episode.
We did.
For our mothers.
Mm-hmm.
Because we love the hell out of them. And it's really easy to show affection to those two women.
Right.
It's very easy. Because they're like two of the most important people ever. We did that. Then we went to...
Okay, so before that, because you're jumping... Are you doing like a broad summary?
Yeah, like just how the day went. We could talk about.
Okay.
Before sorry. We thought of, talk about how we thought it would go and things like that. Just
okay.
Like,
no, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So we recorded the episode. We were gonna go see my mom.
Right.
But she was in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to go spend the day with your mom.
Right.
So how did you think the day was gonna go?
I thought that it would be a normal ass day. I thought that,
in what sense of the word normal?
Like a normal Mother's Day. You do a shout out for your mom on social media. Maybe put up a picture if she allows you to. Hang with family, siblings, and not be a crying hot mess. I thought that I would be functional. More functional than I was and less sad. How did you think Mother's Day was going
to
go?
I would have to say I thought that you would be more sad than functional. From jump, like from the night before we went to sleep.
I hadn't thought about what the impact of Mother's Day, how impactful it would be. I hadn't talked to my therapist about it. I really thought it wouldn't be a thing.
So I guess we're just getting, so you know, we've been talking about Mother's Day for a while before Mother's Day approached. And just the idea of you being a mother in general, we bounce that around a lot, and we have the conversation about how people who have lost kids, you know, are still mothers.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of what we talk about also has been centered around the fact that because of our loss, you felt like you didn't deserve to be called a mom, or that you didn't feel like you were one.
And it wasn't that I didn't feel like I deserved to be. I was more just like, it's not that I didn't think I deserved to be. I definitely wanted the baby acknowledged, but I thought that there would be a way. I don't know. I just didn't think Mother's Day would be that day for me. You know, like maybe that day belongs to mothers who have been able to successfully carry their children, have them, raise them, put in that type of hard work, and then be recognized. And that I just wouldn't be as important.
I think I disagree, because Mother's Day has always been like a general day for anyone, like a mother, like even like female mentors who may not have actually have kids. It's always been like that matronly person, that motherly person that's been in your life has been like what Mother's Day has been about. There are people who don't have the best relationship with their mothers, you know, who weren't raised by their mothers, who still, you know, they mothers get shouted out, just like there are people who lost, you know, children Like in recent school shootings, you know, there are people whose kids were their only kids.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I mean, I don't think that makes them any, like, I don't think that that should take away from the fact that they should have been like shouted out on Mother's Day and things like that. And like, these are the conversations that we have been having
right
for a while. But one of the bigger takeaways was that you were saying, yeah, you just wanted the baby to be acknowledged.
Right.
And you didn't outwardly express like, I don't feel like I deserve to be called a mom, but
right.
Things that you would say would kind of like, would sound like that, or the way that you would talk about yourself seemed like that.
Okay.
And I disagreed hard. It's like, you were a mom. There was a whole baby in there. I got pictures.
You do.
So just, I knew the day would be rough.
Okay.
And I just figured it would be really, really hard for you. And all I wanted to do was try to find a way to make it good. And so go to the first thing.
Okay.
This is a good transition.
So, yeah.
So I had a plan for what I wanted to do for you that day. There are three women who, when they talk to you, you receive it in a way that like really uplifts you. And it really makes you feel good to hear from these women. And these women just happen to be my mother, your mother, and your cousin. And what you think? So our mothers. I wanted my idea was, you know, let me have our mothers, the mothers that we love, reach out to you and tell you, you know, Happy Mother's Day in some form of acknowledgement to the child that we lost, because you had been saying the night before, you know, like I don't why would anybody reach out to me? I don't think anybody would. You know, like, just, no, I'm not a mother and things like that. You were just really down. And I didn't want that to be a bad day for you. So my plan was to have these women reach out and have our siblings just reach out. And that was it. And just say Happy Mother's Day. I think Miss Kemp too.
Your mom didn't say anything.
Mm-mm. No, some people replied and was like, you know, I don't think that'd be the best. My big sister replied and was like, that seems kind of mean. And I was like, well, no, Randy, you know, has expressed that she wants the baby to be acknowledged in some kind of way. I'm not asking for like a long, drawn out message or something, but just like a small, quick message, I think would make her feel good. And at first, it did. I think the first person to reach out to you was your cousin.
No, it was Miss Kemp.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was Miss Kemp, and she had just said she loved me. And I told her that today was hard. That day was hard, but it was right before we started to record.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kira called my cousin and I didn't answer because we were recording.
Yes.
And I was like, hey, I'm recording, just, you know, text me. And she was, you know, we'll talk later. And she was like, okay, well, call me when you can. And then Bree texted me, my mom and your sister Therese text me.
Yeah.
Did you want me to?
No, yeah. So, well, those people text you and like, how did you feel at first?
Well, Miss Kemp, it was nice to get her text. She just said, I love you. And which, you know, which is fine. And my sister sent me a text and was like, hey, you are a mom. I love you. Happy Mother's Day. But she sent that text after I called Kira. We had finished recording and I called her back and she had, just affirmed me and said that I was a mom and that, you know, I did my best. And, you know, there are some mothers out here that aren't, and I did more than, you know, some mothers do. Especially when we were trying, you know, I was detoxing and working out. And so she was like naming all these things we did to get pregnant. And then all the things I did once I got pregnant, and just affirmed that it wasn't my fault that I miscarried. And I was a hot ass weeping mess.
Yeah.
And, she was like, oh no.
Before that, I forgot. So I actually started the day off. I woke up early.
Yeah,
a couple hours early.
Mikey said Happy Mother's Day to me first.
Send you like a text.
And he sent me a text.
We live together, but I sent her a text from the bathroom because that's the only quiet place where I could like get my thoughts together.
Yeah.
So that happens, and then you get the message.
And so I cry, and it was just really hard. And that was the first point when I realized this day is about to suck. And then all these other texts start coming in. My mom has sent me a text and told me to check my email. She wrote me this really beautiful Mother's Day post and gave me gift cards to two bookstores that I really love but haven't shopped at in a while. And I just felt like, and mind you, I didn't know that Mikey had orchestrated any of this.
Nah. Earlier in the day, Randy was repeatedly saying, like, nobody's going to give me anything. Nobody's going to do anything. Like, she wasn't expecting anything.
Yeah,
like,
so when I was getting all these, I had people online. I actually stopped telling people Happy Mother's Day. So if you know me and love me and was like, I didn't get a Happy Mother's Day post or message, that's why. Because I was afraid that people would say it back to me. And people did when I said Happy Mother's Day. And so I was like, yeah, I'm going to stop talking to people. And it was awful. I kept hearing Happy Mother's Day. And in a sense, the baby was acknowledged, and which is what I wanted. But I also kept being reminded of my failure, or like my, or how I perceived the miscarriage as a failure.
On top of that, not only... Here's the problem. Here's the good and the bad about social media. You'll see some really great shit. And you'll see some shit you just don't want to see.
Yeah.
And sometimes those two things are the same thing. So it was really great that there were some people making, like, pregnancy announcements.
Yeah.
And some engagements. I don't know. Like, you know,
they had their infants. And I'm like,
all types of things. And that's great.
Yeah.
But it was.
It was really hard. We had agreed to, when I was pregnant, we wanted to tell everybody by our anniversary, by the time I'd be showing, and I would be like 13, 14 weeks.
And following, our anniversary was the 24th of last April. Month. So the 20, what was Mother's Day?
12th.
So following that, obviously I would have been doing like something really big for Mother's Day on social media.
Yeah.
As well, you know?
And it just wasn't, so to be in that space, like, damn, I'm supposed to be pregnant right now. And all these other people are, and all these other women have their babies. This is so unfair. And it's not that I'm envious to women who are pregnant and have been able to carry, because so many things have to go perfectly for pregnancy. And I wouldn't wish things going wrong on pregnancy, even people I hate. Like, I would never do that. So it really is a miracle and it really is a blessing. And so I was just like, I was so pissed because I pulled the short end of the stick in this random chaos, natural thing that is miscarrying. And so I was consuming all of this on top of all the messages I was getting. And it was really, really bad.
So other than you crying when you first got, like, when you were on the call and you cried and then you got off and you were like dealing, like, well, how are you handling that?
I wasn't really aware of
how
I didn't know how to, yeah, I didn't know how to communicate what was like hurting. And so I didn't. You're, communicate.
I don't think we talked much during that time. It was more.
We didn't. Mikey
you
just
were
like hugged me.
I
like,
would hug you.
And I'm like, yeah, it's just hard. It's just a hard day. I think
we still had, we had plans. Like, we were getting ready to leave and stuff. Mm-hmm. We had to wrap up the episode stuff and put all that up real quick.
Yeah.
So we were like moving.
Yeah. So I was able to be distracted. We got to my mom's house. I had two of those strawberry margaritas. And
strawberries?
Whatever. And like we went to Jim and Nick's the day before because it was my brother's birthday. And so we had leftovers. And so I was just eating. And in that time, I also like spent all the money that she gave me on the books. But then, you know, the money ran out. The alcohol ran out. I was sobering up and was forced to deal with my feelings, which was not weird, like, which was not good.
Yeah.
So I was like coming down from this distraction and really feeling like I was bubbling over.
It was a big day of distractions. There was a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
So we got your mom a gift. And while we're drinking and talking and doing all these things, we were setting up a gift. We're talking to her, obviously, because
mm-hmm.
she's excited about her gift. We got like speakers
mm-hmm.
that she loved.
Yeah.
We had to like pick them up. There's a lot of stuff happening. So yeah, you were very distracted.
Yeah.
You did have a lot. There was a lot going on.
Right. And so we end up leaving, because I'm just not doing well and it's late and it's also Sunday. So,
yeah, we got to work.
Yeah. And so we leave and all I want is Brewster's ice cream. And
it was like 9:38.
Yeah.
It was
and then like Brewster's 9. Closed at 10 and Mikey
the closest
got
one
gas.
Closed at 10. All the rest of them closed at 9.
Right. Mikey got gas and ended up like going to the highway instead of staying where we were. Cause that's where the Brewster's was. And I was like, hey, I wanted roosters. He's like, oh, you know, we'll get it on the way home. And then I checked, and all the ones on the way home closed at 9. And the only one that was open was the one off my mom's exit. And while it was a small thing, and I talked to my therapist about this, that set me over. I was like, I can't have my baby. I can't have ice cream. Like, that's all I fucking wanted today.
And I
wanted two things.
I was trying so hard. I was like, baby, it's not a problem. We could turn back around. We clearly make it back before it closed.
I wasn't okay. I couldn't communicate. I was literally holding my breath, waiting to get home. And so we got home, and Mikey's, he says he's going to take out the trash. I say, okay. I come upstairs. I go to the restroom, and the restrooms are usually my safe space. And I just scream. I scream like 6 times. And the only thing that made me stop was that I accidentally touched my face, and I felt how hot I was. And I was just, and I was feeling really nauseous as well. And I was like, yeah, you're probably going to die if you keep screaming. So you need to like go find Mikey. And so I came downstairs, and Mikey was downstairs, and we got into the argument. I don't know how else to transition it to that.
Smooth, babe, smooth. So it just started with, again, I mean, that was how the day went.
Yeah.
And it was just really rough, and we're on our way home. And home has been a couple of things since we lost the baby. It used to be like our space where like everything was great.
Mm-hmm.
But we lost the baby in this house.
Right.
Which is also triggering. Even if you don't recognize it, it's a thing. It happens. It bothers you and me. But we know that that's like our safe space. We can do whatever we want at home.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no one around to talk about us. We are free to be us, what we need to do. And within the four walls of this home, you know, we can yell, we can scream, this whatever, without judgment, like, except between the two of us. But it doesn't matter because we're not going nowhere.
Right.
So the ride down, you know, Randy is, you expressed that you weren't in the space to communicate, and you were just upset. And I didn't think that the ice cream thing was a small thing. I didn't. I knew that the ice cream thing was bothering you. I'm like, we can stop at the grocery store.
No, I can grab, I wanted like some Ben and Jerry's what I wanted from Brewster's.
I was like, we got options.
No.
I was just trying to find something. My whole mindset the entire day was like, how can I make this a good day for you? How can I make this day bearable? And I feel like I started off so strong and ended so horribly. Just did so bad. We get in the house, and I'm asking Randy my usual question of like, what's wrong? What's wrong is always the preface for us to have a conversation. What's wrong? Obviously, there's something wrong. It's how we start, at least for me. I know if I ask you what's wrong, we're going to actually talk about what's wrong. Mm-hmm. What's going on with you? What are you thinking? Like, things along those lines. I'll ask those questions to go ahead and get you talking, because there's something that you were not saying on the car ride. There's something that's bothering you. And I know all of these things, but we need to talk about it.
Yeah, and I wasn't in the space to talk. I was just like, and I told Mikey that he was better, like he was nicer to me in February when we lost the baby than he was today, that day. And mind you, I wasn't aware that Mikey had, one, I didn't know he did all this. I found out like later, like that, around that time. I think he told me like in the argument that he had like been the reason why people had reached out and why he did it, and how he was thinking about me the whole day and trying to do what was best for me. And like he said, try to make the day bearable. But I felt like he was talking a lot. And I felt like in February, we were more in sync. We were more connected. You know, that week of losing the baby, I didn't have to prompt Mikey a lot. He didn't have to prompt me. We were just moving in the same.
Moving her fingers together.
I mean, I felt like he was excellent. He made me feel like I was safe to do and be and feel however I wanted. He seemed to understand everything. Like, I did not have to explain myself to Mikey when we were miscarrying. And he was asking me to explain myself now. And it really set me off, because I'm like, I'm literally crumbling and you trying to talk. You know, why don't you do tap into whatever you was doing in February? Why don't you hold me? Why don't you? But I didn't say any of this.
So again, and just that expectation thing, it was, and me the entire time this is happening, I'm trying to figure out how you're making that connection between when you miscarried and you being angry in this moment today on Mother's Day. I get both of them are painful things, but like you said before, you know, when it first happened, we were on a different page. It seemed like we were really close because we were both talking. Like you just said, like you said, Mikey's talking a lot more. And we were talking to each other before. It was a back and forth. It was a little bit easier to just to know what to do because I had been there. I had felt this before. I was less worried about me and more and very much focused on just you. And I knew that that needed to be my mentality moving forward. Like, this is about making sure we get you through what is going on right now and help out in any way that I can. And it was very hard in the beginning, but it was, I understood that it was just going to be very, very hard for you, more so than it was for me. And I didn't feel like I was any different. And, you know, and then we talked about it since. And it was just in that moment, I was just so frustrated and so angry. And again, we talked about it afterwards, like how you didn't know everything that was going on before. And, you know, like I am so very much centered in my wife. I'm very focused on my wife because I love my wife. And I think that any husband who cares about their partner or their relationship will be focused on like the well-being of their wife, themselves, their family. Like that's just like how you move. And all of my concern was very much wrapped up in you. And this is when problems.
Yeah, it didn't feel that way at all. I wasn't receiving his concern in that way. I just felt like he kept asking me what was wrong, which is triggering me because I'm like, everything's wrong. Like, you know what's wrong. We've been, like, February was 2 months ago, 3 months ago. Like, why are you asking this question? Do something else, you know? And it just wasn't working. And I really wanted to leave the house. I told Mikey I really wanted to die. I really wish the baby had taken me with it. And I had said that when we miscarried, and because it was so awful. The pain you feel after having someone literally die inside of you is awful. And some women, it may not be. Some people don't feel that way after miscarriage. Sometimes it hits years later or never. I am not one of those women. I wish that I was some days because it would just be a lot easier. And I was just really low. I was whatever emotion is under sad. And so I wanted to leave the house. And Mikey didn't want me to leave the house. And I was like, you know, we're not technically arguing, you know.
We're not arguing. Fair point.
And so I just want to go to the store. We have to have some food. I need to leave this space.
Yeah, we had plans to go grocery shopping and some like just
yeah.
little stuff.
And so I was like, you know, and I just want to leave. And he was like, no, I don't feel comfortable. It's really late. And it was. I don't want you out there by yourself. You know, I'll go. And he says he also said that he would go with me. I don't remember that. But I remember him saying he would go instead.
Yeah, after a while, like, well, she wasn't. Randy, it was very clear that you were upset and you needed to go. And me saying and keeping you from going somewhere wasn't working. This wasn't one of those situations where I was like, where she pissed at me. So she's trying to like run away type of thing. It was like you needed air, you needed space. And I understood that. However, it was like 11 at night on a Sunday night or whatever. And
yeah,
I was like, so I'll ride with. For the longest, I kept repeating, you can't go. Either I go and no one goes.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I'll just ride with you. I won't get out the car and you can just go. And
I really don't remember that. But I said, in any event, I went by myself. Yeah. And I got groceries and we got back. I got back and Mikey was, you know, obviously upset. We're both still upset. And we go to bed. And we go to bed. We have a training session the next morning. And our trainer stops me. And she's just like, can I talk to you for a minute? And I'm like, okay. And she takes me out into the hallway. And I think she asked me what was wrong or was I okay? And I just started crying. Now, mind you, at this point, I'm thinking Mikey's being really distant. He's not really speaking to me, which I think is unfair because I'm like, I guess I'll get into that. I thought it was unfair because in February when we miscarried, when the bleeding started to stop, Mikey affirmed, you know, like, hey, just because this bleeding has physically stopped, that this miscarriage is physically over, I'm not going to treat you like it's over. I'm not going to treat you like it's done if that's not what you want. He's like, you're allowed to be crazy, be sad, be angry whenever you want to, you know, because this is a loss and you can do that with me. And it was just really great. It was exactly what I needed to hear so that I felt safe that even if I started to have good days again, if I didn't, Mikey could be a space to have that bad day with. And so that's what I consider Sunday. I consider Sunday him like cashing in on his promise to let me have this bad day. Let me do whatever I wanted, not just in how it came out, but what came out because of it. And so I felt really slighted. Because I was like, he kept this promise. He had said this promise. And now I'm out here with my trainer while he's still in there doing God knows what. And I'm like crying. She's so skinny. I think Reagan's like 100 pounds. I don't even know. Like, she's so skinny. And I am not. And I'm just like, I'm going to like break her. I'm obviously not. She's like the strongest person I know. But then Mikey eventually comes out and she like, you know, tells us to talk. And we can't work out like this. And Reagan's been our trainer since we got married. Since we were engaged. Yeah, so before. She's family. And so we talked. But as anybody knows, when you are married or in a relationship, one conversation does not suffice all at the time. All. You have to have this conversation multiple times.
Because within that one conversation, there are five different conversations happening.
Right. And we both had to go to work and it just wasn't the time to really hash it out. And so we talked after work. If Mikey wants to.
Yeah, well, going back to, you said that I made a promise to you. And I didn't feel at the time that it was just the thing to say. It genuinely is how I felt and it's how I am and who I am. I recognize that trauma lasts. It is not a temporary thing. It's not the easiest thing to get through or work through or get by. And this was very new to you. And being that it was new to you, it was new to me, you know, whether I had been through something like this or not before, like seeing you go through that and going through this with you as your husband was just hard. So yeah, I made the promise to Randy to allow her the space to do whatever she needs to do whenever she needs to. And she expressed that night to her was that time and space to do those things. Unadulterated, unfiltered, you know, like that was exactly what, you know, we talked about doing it wasn't communicated between either of us though, that this is about to be that space or that this was happening right now. This argument just seemed like an argument. And Randy said things in a way that, you know, that hurt. And for a moment,
what it was. I mean, if you want.
So in an argument, there are things that you remember and some things you just don't. And when you start getting upset, like I used to do this thing where in an argument, because, you know, I used to look at them like debates, like I'm listening to your points and I'm gonna break down your points and tell you why your points are wrong. But communicating with your partner, it doesn't work like that. Like, it's not about being right or wrong. It's actually trying to like work towards something. So for a while, I stopped doing that. Like, okay, she said this. I'm about to reply with this. She's saying this. I'm about to reply with this. Cause that's not like actively listening. Mm-hmm. At least to me, I genuinely wasn't, because like, even though I heard what you said, I wasn't listening to what you were saying. I was just trying to like pick it apart so that I can come back with like, so here's why you're wrong, because that's how it works with debates,
right?
And then there's a winner. I'm not trying to win. I'm trying to like figure this shit out here. So during the exchange, Randy said some things she said some things that were personal to me. It was like, you're always asking me what's wrong, you know, like, and you know what's fucking wrong, like things like that. And it was like, yeah, well, I knew I asked these things because I'm trying to get you to talk, because you want to talk, because there's something I feel like you need to say.
I didn't want
to
talk.
You know, but, and
I didn't
again,
communicate that.
We weren't in the space to communicate any of these things effectively. And looking back, if I didn't let myself for that moment, like, feel like mad because she's like attacking me personally. If I would have just looked at it like in that moment, like, yo, she's just really angry right now. And it's not at you. This is just like, this is a different expression of her anger. Randy has expressed anger to me before. We've been together since we were kids. This was just different because all of this is different. Us losing this baby was different. Yeah. This first Mother's Day after losing the baby was different. All of this is just new territory. And I
felt like I learned that day that he was angry. He was angry with me.
For the first time.
And I was just like, this is so fucked up.
It was.
Like,
all of the situation, everything about it was like unfair.
I mean, all of it was fucked up. All of it was unfair.
I was like, I don't. First of all, we shouldn't be having this conversation. None of this should be happening right now.
We should
actually just be like laid out and you could cry on me and like we can do this. You should be pregnant. You know, we should be preparing for like
other shit.
Like, this shouldn't be a lot of shouldn'ts.
Right. And we were both mourning that. And I felt like it's very difficult for me still, even after all these years, to be vulnerable. And I had the blog and I was using that space, but that shit was not easy. I'd post something and then
immediately
should I have posted this? I'm about to delete it.
Writer's remorse like, after every post.
I have writer's remorse. That's a great phrase. I am not good at being vulnerable because I am prideful and I don't want people to talk about me. But I have learned that to be vulnerable, that's like where the light is. And that's where like all my really great relationships.
You really are a Leo.
Shut up.
Yeah,
that's where all my really great relationships, or relationships in general flourish and where I can be my most honest. And so, but at this point I was regretting being vulnerable with Mikey in that way and allowing him to see me that way because I felt like he had broke his promise and he couldn't handle it. I was like, oh, your reaction to like me being in the depths of my grief for this grief to be uncontained and not the how, but all of it, is lame. Like I was really angry. I was really, really angry that he was angry with me because it wasn't fair. I didn't ask to lose the baby. You know, I shouldn't be feeling this way.
And at the same time, this is where it comes to like those two different conversations happening at one time. Well, this is your thinking and this is what's on your mind at the time. Like this is how you're expressing yourself and this is just that moment in your head. It's being sent out to me. It's being aimed at me in form like you're fucking up with this. This is what you like. And it was
I wasn't.
Well, you're not cognizant of the fact that like, because we didn't talk about this before. I think that if it had been prefaced in some kind of way with like, this is that moment where I need to like unleash in any type of way where again communication.
Like I didn't know. Neither one of us anticipated Mother's Day being so bad
at all.
And if I had had an inkling. Because I'm really big on planning. And I really am big on being prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't, like, even with the baby's loss, like, I knew something was wrong. You know, the doctor said nothing was wrong. 4 days later, it's confirmed something is wrong.
Yeah.
And so I even then still had time to be like, okay. And then on top of that, the miscarriage took 11 days. So I have, like, still this time to be, I was prepared for it to be awful. Because it was awful for almost 2 weeks. And so, but this was very random to me. And I didn't think it was fair to be put in a situation for me to be expected to communicate. Because I didn't even know what the fuck was going on. Like, I really didn't understand why it was hurting me so bad.
And at the same time, I didn't think that it wouldn't be, that we wouldn't have conversation at like we've been having it for the last couple of months. Like, I didn't think that you wouldn't be in a space to be like, this is what's happening right now, especially with me asking questions like what's happening
and the
right now, you know, like
me off.
And it was making it worse. And, you know, like we've been together. How long? 10 years. It's been a decade of this friendship, if nothing else. We've talked to each other so much that like, you know, like you would think that we got this down, but that's not how this works, especially with like new traumatic shit going on. And not even that, there was other things we didn't touch on, like, in the argument. Like, all Randy said, like, afterwards when we talked about it, Randy just wanted me to hold her.
Yeah, and he didn't. I felt like the entire he just time kept we were backing in that away. Space, he wasn't trying to touch me. He wasn't very tender, in my opinion. And he was more just like, okay, well, just talk to me. What do you need? And I'm like, why are you across the room?
And like, I don't understand. Like, while that's happening, Randy is, you know, she's visibly upset. Randy is struggling to breathe. She is, like, hot. She's moving away. She's moving around. She's, like, going from one side of the couch to the other, standing up, sitting down. Went into the bathroom at one point, you know, to scream, came back out. Like, it seemed to me like at the same time in looking at it now, I can say, like, I was like, I need to be solid. I need to be an anchor. I just need to, like, create this space where, like, there's not more chaos on top of, like, the chaos is already going. So I'm just trying to be, like, the calm voice and and just be still and slowly work my way towards you.
And that was not what happened. And I wanted Mikey to be an anchor and a center, but I wanted him to do that. Like, I wanted him to center me in the same way that I felt like he centered me in February. And, so that's where we were. And we talked. We finally talked. And Mikey's affirming me, you know, you weren't wrong in how you were and what you did, you know, like how you felt
at all.
And I was like, well, that's not my problem. I wasn't worried about that at all. I chalked it up to what it was, grief. Like, how I was on Mother's Day is who I am on the inside.
And this was the first time that we had said any of this to each other. Like,
yeah.
I was like, so now that, and I went back and just reaffirmed, like, now that I know that this is a possibility, that this is what you hold in, that this is what a peak of your grief can look like, I'm more prepared to accept it as, like, yeah, this is not a thing to take personally. Even if she is, like, talking about me personally, this is just her expression of her hurt. And I know Randy would come back later and, like, apologize or something if she had, like, time to think about it. But this wasn't the space where you were thinking. This wasn't this was, like, all reaction. This was all anger and rage from being angry, because you should be, because you hurt.
Right. And Mikey said all this.
I go off on my Randy calls. She His says lectures. I'm a lecturer.
He is a lecturer.
I don't like talking unless, like, it's about something important. And sometimes talking about important things goes on for a minute.
Yeah. And he said all of this, and I was like, you know, and I hated Mike, because I was like, and he felt something similar to me. And I was like, it's okay if you hate me. You know, one, because hate is not obviously fun. We don't walk around telling each other we hate each other. We actually have never said that to each other. But
wait, what?
I've never told you to your face I hate you.
No. It's always been after the fact.
Yeah.
Like, I hated you. And I was like,
yeah,
oh.
But I've never been, like, in an argument, I hate you, nigga. Like,
nah,
I've never.
Yeah, never.
That.
And I have never felt hate towards Randy. I actively avoid hate. You roll your eyes all you want. I've experienced irritation. I've experienced anger. But I know what hate feels like with me. And hate with me is extreme. Mm. And we've had this conversation.
Well, maybe because I'm a Leo. I hate everybody.
Yeah, plenty of niggas present on this planet who know what hate for Mikey feel like.
Well, I was just like, we're going to be married for the rest of our lives. You're going to hate me. You
and
know?
She was,
that's
fine. And she's still wrong. And if episodes from now, if something come up,
where
we're talking about,
I mean, it's like
that.
A sibling. Oh my God. It's like a sibling. And then you love your siblings, but you just like, I fucking hate you.
That's different.
You. It's not.
That's different.
It's really
You're
not
my sibling.
I know that, but, like, I think the being in a compacted space, never being able, it's like growing up with a sibling when you're still a child.
But I hated my sisters for, like, small, like it wasn't real hate. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well,
it was.
Maybe there's a spectrum of hate, but I was there. I was on the spectrum. And Mikey was too. But I was like, that's fine that you hate me. Or that you hated me. Or that,
and
that,
I don't
that,
think
that.
That's okay.
But I said it was fine. Because I think that that's natural. The opposite of love is not hate. Like, I just, it's going to happen. We'll talk about it and get past it. I was just pissed that he used that moment. You hate me on a day that I'm like my saddest.
I was feeling hate not because of what you felt and because
right,
of the
it
day.
Wasn't
it was just what you said.
Portrayed.
Yeah, it was it was what was said to me. It
and I don't want anybody, Mikey can't really remember everything that I said, but to clarify, what I said was like a lot of, as he said, like personal jabs. Like, you're not doing this and you're not doing that. What Mikey has spent the whole day
doing this and it just wasn't seen.
So he wasn't seen, which will get us to our next point, if you wanna.
Yeah, man.
How we're moving forward?
Nah, man. Just married space.
Oh, okay.
Married space. So we've talked about how we can't, we won't get a divorce. And we think that that's like our guiding principle for like, for like being smart in how we move. Like you got to be intentional in what you do. If your goal, and we're really big on goals, your goal is to stay married forever.
Happily.
Right? I'm trying to die with you.
Healthy.
At an old age. You gotta specify. Because we could kill each other tomorrow. I'm trying to die old with you. And I can't do that if we don't like do these things, like, or have these like these rules in place.
Right.
And this was just our first instance of being able to like actually go through something where you'd be like, you know, it's okay not to be okay.
Right. And I was embarrassed because after I left to go to the store, Mikey called one of our mentors. Actually the husband of the mentor who messaged me and told me she loved me. And they, you know, they talked and I was happy that he had someone to reach out to, but I didn't like that it was about me. Or that I was the reason that caused it, because I'm not trying to be a crazy wife. I don't want to be so buried in my grief that I can't see you, or be considerate. Unfortunately, though, grief does not care about what we want.
At all.
And I felt very ashamed and embarrassed to react that way and to have such a bad day and not anticipate that it was going to be that bad.
See, I never thought about that. Here's part of the problem with like exposing yourself and like really putting yourself out there. You try so hard and you spend so much time cultivating like the way that you are and the person that you are. Like you're really big on, like, I want to be this person and I want people to see me this way and I want to be received this way because this is who I am.
Right.
So in moments like that, when you let loose, that's still part of who you are. But that ain't none of what, you know, has been portrayed or that you've expressed. Like, this could be like a way that I could be. I broke down 2 days ago. Yeah. I have no problem sharing it. I don't like doing that in front of you. I don't want to appear weak for all of the reasons we just named. I spent a lifetime cultivating this thing. I am this person. This is who I am known to be. So in moments like that, when I'm like really, really down and depressed and struggling to form sentences and having so much problem, I had so much problems like trying to find words that I'm actually tapping my temple to like get words to come.
He
like,
was, he it's had a very, really bad breakdown.
It's hard. It's hard also on you in that moment, because even in moments like that, I'm still thinking about you. So I know even in your anger, you're still thinking about me, and like that hurts. It hurts in a moment to be like, damn, I know I'm hurt right now and I'm hurting my partner, but damn, I'm mad. Like,
just very inconsiderate. Usually I feel like I've been trying
this was
to be
what the space
in my
was.
Grief. I'm very conscious of Mikey, especially when it concerns the baby, because this was both our loss. And I know that it is different for both of us and that I physically had to dispel the baby, but I really considered like, It was both of our loss, which I felt like was the reason why in February we were so in sync, because we treated each other like it was both of our losses. And we, like you said, we communicated. And on top of that, I felt so guilty that I had lost your baby. And I just didn't, like, you know, I was just trying to be a perfectly sad wife. On Mother's Day, I was not thinking about any of that.
And on Mother's Day, I wasn't thinking of it as a shared grief.
Yeah. Like, and it wasn't, so neither one of us was, and I think that's what the issue was.
We didn't talk.
We didn't
at
talk.
At all like we should have.
But I had a therapy session Thursday, and I told her about it. And she was like, oh, that sounds horrible. She's like, that sounds like a really rough day. And I was like, yeah, I didn't anticipate it. I told her everything. And so she gave me some advice.
Ooh, what is it, baby?
She gave me an acronym called HALT.
H-A-L-T.
Yes. And so H is for hungry. A is for angry. L is for lonely. T is for tired. And so I was telling her, you know, when I was spazzing out on Sunday, I felt like I wasn't tapping into any of these resources she had given me, or anything that I had been doing my best to do, working out, meditating, breathing. Couldn't tap into none of that shit. I felt like I was just at a loss. I felt like I was starting from zero all over again. And so she said not to think that, because I'm not. But she was like, you know, when you're feeling like that, it's, you know, it's a quick acronym to be like, hey, I'm lonely. Lonely means I need affection. Mikey's asking me what I need. L. Okay. Can you just hug me?
It's so nice to get tools all after the fact.
Right. So, because it may happen again.
They're effective. Yeah,
It may be another trigger. And then she asked me.
There will be another trigger.
Then she asked, she told me I need to, come up with a plan, about hard days, potential hard days. And so we know Mother's Day is a trigger. Okay. So, and we know September will be a trigger because that's when the baby was due. And possibly October, because it was like September 25th.
October is always a triggering month for me.
Yeah. So she was like, y'all need plans, for these times. February may be hard.
So meanwhile, while Randy is having a conversation with her therapist, I'm over here being real introspective and really trying to figure out how everything went wrong that Sunday night and what I'm supposed to say to you when I see you and what it is that I'm figuring out.
But we already talked.
Yeah, we had already talked, but there was more things on my mind. Like how to move forward better. And Saturday was my cousin's baby shower.
Yeah. Well, the therapy session was this Thursday. So you had this revelation before.
Yes.
Okay.
So before she had went to her therapist and got all this information and things, I was already thinking of how best to move forward. And if Mother's Day was triggering and we would have been having a baby shower shortly after. My cousin's baby shower was approaching and I felt like maybe it wasn't the best idea that you go.
Yeah.
I was like, there is going to be one pregnant lady who you love who will be celebrated very heavily. There's a very high chance that there will also be children or other pregnant women there. Turns out there were a lot. Mm. and I don't know how that would affect you. So I thought maybe it would be better if, you did not put yourself in that space. And
it worked. I mean, I was sad to be without him, but that would have been another trigger. And that's not about me. That's about somebody else's, baby and celebration. And I didn't want to do that.
It was mad alcohol. It was hella Guyanese. It was,
it looked like a lot of fun.
It turned into a party.
For now on the plan, tentatively, this may change. But for now, on Mother's Day, there will be no social media. Because not only was I dealing with my own shit, I was consuming a lot of things as well. And so no social media on Mother's Day. And then me and Mikey will just do something private with each other.
Answer me this. How long have you had that mattress? Because it's looking even lumpier than my lockdown love handles. And while those might be more cuddly, a lumpy mattress is doing nothing for your comfort levels or your sleep. So whatever body you're rocking, put it on a Nectar mattress. Prices start at just $499, and you get $399 in accessories thrown in. That includes a Nectar mattress, mattress protector, cooling pillows and sheet set, a 365-night home trial, and a forever warranty. Go to NectarSleep.com and get hugged.
And that makes me feel good because I was fine when Mikey said Happy Mother's Day. I was fine when it was just us.
Yeah.
But having outward people.
And I'm not going to lie to you, looking back, it wasn't just us anymore after that at all. And I wasn't focused on it being about us. I was really, really heavy focused on and I think it was about trying to help you, was my intention. But the impact was very isolating.
Yeah.
Looking back, I was like, it wasn't. And I'm sorry. It was.
It's okay.
It's not. I feel like shit.
Why?
Because of hindsight. It was always 2020.
It was new for both of us I also learned. I mean, you learned that, this is what it may look like. And so now when I get punched in the face, I know what to do. Well, I didn't punch him, but
But it could happen. In those moments, it's allowed.
Hit you.
I know, but we'll talk about it afterwards and you'll probably make it up to me with lots of apologies and sex and alcohol.
I wouldn't hit you. But I also learned, because Mikey had a really bad breakdown 2 days ago, about the baby, about just in general. And y'all, I felt like the Holy Spirit, I swear to God, had cover me, because we had just talked about this episode. We just had our production meeting and it was rough. That's how we do meetings again or before because we don't want to sound all disorganized and sobbing and weeping on the mic.
Be on the mic.
Yeah. So we have all these meetings before and try to filter out what we're going to talk about so that we can get it out. But he had a really bad breakdown, and I asked him, you know, do you want a hug? It's one thing he didn't ask me on Mother's Day. I was trying to, like, we had talked about this. You know, he was asking questions, but he wasn't asking the question that I needed him to help steer me into communication, which is a learning curve. And I said, do you want a hug? And he said, yes. And, you know, Mikey's huge, you know? So I had to sit on his lap to get the hug because he's a big guy. He was sitting down. And, you know, I told him, you know, I was upset with Mike. I felt like he had broke his promise. He couldn't handle my grief. But I also realized that I had broke my promise too. During the miscarriage until all the months following the miscarriage, I had made it very clear that, you know, home is a safe space. With me is a safe space. You don't have to be so damn centered and strong all the time. Mikey's he's the fixer, you know, family be making these last minute things. They fucking with his time. Not even just like work. Everybody knows they can count on Mikey. You know, oh, Mikey'll do it. Mikey'll pick me up. Mikey'll fix it. Mikey'll show up. Mikey'll carry it, you know. And it was really important to me that he didn't feel like he had to do that all the time, especially at home and especially with me. And on Mother's Day, I expected him to be what he always is for everybody else, not considering the fact that this day probably fucking sucks for him too.
A little bit.
You know, and not just because it was his baby as well, but just to see me be so damn out of it. And I hadn't given Mikey the space to not be the center, you know, to like, you know, he should be able to be out here and be crazy too.
Nah, that's not a good look for me.
He doesn't think
that's
it's a
why
good look,
yeah,
but I've always,
that guy.
I felt like I broke my promise about that as well. And so I apologized to him, for not giving him the space to not be so damn strong.
Basically, we talked.
Yeah.
Before we ask, I just want to know, in your opinion, what do you think helped us make strides towards recovering? What do you think our recovery phase looked like? Like, what helps us recover from this? Because we're clearly better today than we were last week.
Yeah. I mean, I think my therapy session really helped me, like, come to something.
Or talking it out with somebody?
Yeah, talking it out with other people.
Time.
Like, I talked to my cousin. She was like, yeah, I understand how that day went and like why it went. And, you know, everybody always knows how they'll be until they get punched in the face, you know, so she, you know, which is true. Time and just we kept having the conversation until it felt really right. You know, sometimes people talk, sometimes we'll talk and you'll still be kind of salty a few days later. And so you have to have the conversation again, like, 'cause you're missing something, you know, and so I had my breakdown on the 13th and Mikey had his 2 days ago and now we're all out. Now, that was, you know, it was 3 months apart. We actually did really damn well.
I think so. High five.
Yeah, so I think that's what helped. Constantly talking about it in increments the way we have been doing.
Giving it room to breathe and then readdressing it. Like, you can't talk about everything when y'all are clearly pissed. Like, that's
just,
not time to
talk.
Sometimes you ain't supposed to talk. Sometimes a little silence and a little distance works, but in a healthy way.
Yeah.
Like
we were around each other.
Fuck you and hop in the car and leave and be like, yeah, she needs some time and some space.
No.
But I don't know.
We went on about life. We worked out. We went to work, cooked, and then you realize, okay, let's have this conversation. And having it as an episode definitely helped. So
it did.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a bad day.
To not be pregnant.
But, yeah, I mean, like, for all our listeners out there, this is a piece that I just really would like some genuine input on. If you've made it to this part of the episode, please tell us, some things that you do to recover from a bad day. You don't have to be in a relationship to answer this one, you know, single people, just people in general as a person.
Yeah.
What do you do to recover? I don't know, Randy. Her feel good thing is writing.
Mm-hmm.
Her feel good thing is reading and naps, all the naps in the world. My feel good thing, you know, used to be alcohol.
Yeah.
I've since had to cut back on that because I'm trying to be healthier, live longer, impregnate my wife and all that other shit. Mm-hmm. There's other things that I'm working on, but I'll probably expose that to the world a while from now.
Okay.
And, you know, and I clean.
Yeah, Mike, he's
I
a clean cleaner.
And I eat, and I like organize because if I see things get clean, it kind of cleans me. It's my thing. But just tell us, share some of the steps that you do to recover from a bad day or bad shit in general. You know, after your last blow up with your partner or your parents or your siblings or what you do?
Yeah. And, you know, email us blackmailmare@gmail, BLACKMILMAR@gmail.
Or DM our us. Personal Instagrams, which we have not actually said in an episode.
Yeah.
If you ever want to message a real nigga and just like have a conversation, send me some stuff. I don't even know my Instagram right now. I'm going to say Mikey XXI.
Yeah, Mikey XXI.
There's an underscore in there somewhere.
And mine is bookworm_ran. You can also follow me on Twitter, Randy Writes. It sounds exactly what it is. RANDIEWRITES.
And send me a message before you request me, because I don't just be adding everybody.
Yes, Mikey_XXI.
Thank you, love.
You're welcome.
I like to say XXI again. That was sexy.
So, yeah.
I just gave like a really specific.
Mikey_XXI.
You didn't have to say it so aggressively.
Mikey, next segment.
So, we'll get into our fight or flight for the week.
Yes, it's Mikey's turn.
It is my turn to lead our fight or flight. All right, my fight or flight is going to be a less serious one today, but it is an actual grievance that I have. Now, Randy and I started, quote unquote, living together when I was in college. She stayed with me in my dorm for a while before we moved in with our parents, before we moved in with each other. And we used to joke about it in college, but it was a true thing. Randy uses up toilet paper like nobody's business. That girl, you ever see, you can answer at this part. Everyone knows those Charmin commercials where like the little bear is pulling off the roll really, really fast. And then the dad has to come and be like, no, son,
you know what?
We only need 3 squares.
I like to be clean. You never have any problems.
Let me finish.
I'm just saying.
Let me finish. That's not even what I'm about to complain about.
What?
It's not even a complaint. It's an actual grievance.
Mike.
So I feel like the papa bear, like constantly having to be like, hey, we don't need 12 things to wipe one thing. We, you know, 3 squares is enough. We get like really good toilet paper. All of that aside, because we knew when we were younger that Randy uses up a lot of toilet paper, which I have no problem with, babe. That's your thing. That's your priority. You want to be clean, and that's fair. When we were younger, we said, hey, since you use it up so much, all you got to do is buy toilet paper. That'll be like,
we had toilet paper.
Hold on. Because before we got here, you wasn't. Randy was like, yeah, okay, I'll buy the toilet paper. No problem. And that was her thing. She would have to provide, because I don't use that much. I genuinely don't. Out of 12 rolls total, Mikey would probably use up one. I would. In nasty. The same amount of time it takes you to use 12. That doesn't butt. Make me nasty. I'm just accurate, okay?
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. I don't need like a whole giant sponge, you know. Just, I'm good with the love. Good. Randy just bought this pack of 24? What is that?
I don't know. It's a lot.
It's a big ass pack of toilet paper. And toilet paper is expensive. And I just want to know why you don't buy it more often, because you're the reason why we keep running out.
Because we don't have any money.
That's fair.
So.
Well, I need you to budget for toilet paper, because that's
you
like
to
your thing.
I need you to kiss my ass. That's what I need you to do.
I don't have time to kiss your ass because you're too busy using up all the toilet paper on it.
Well, we shouldn't run out for a minute. I've been doing my best.
Like I said, Randy just bought this big ass pack.
I've been doing my best.
We gonna be done by the end of this month.
I don't think we will. I think it'll last us until August.
So, all right. So, are you fine with going ahead and making it a line item in our budget for you to provide toilet paper for this household, since you use it all?
Only after I find out what you can provide. You need to add something.
What does that mean?
Africa's best.
Okay.
You need to, because you use up my oil. All
because I haven't had lotion in forever, and
you
your oil is nice, and people like the way it like looks on my skin.
Use it up.
I don't use it up. I just use a little bit every once in a while.
Mike, you use it up.
I don't
and
use
so
it as
you
much
need
as
to put into the line.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. First of all, I don't like how this fight or flight has now flipped.
I'm fighting you.
Okay. So the compromise here is that if I provide us with more
Africa's best
oil,
I will provide the tissue.
Done. We have a fight or flight first, ladies and gentlemen. Mikey and Randy have agreed on doing something.
Mm.
Let's see if she follows through when the toilet paper is out in a
you
couple
know what?
Of weeks. Just shake my hand.
I shook your hand.
No, you didn't. That was not a...
I shook your hand. You are so annoying.
PDA.
Yes.
You first, woman. Tell me why you love me.
I love you because... No, really. My PDA for this week.
She has to think really hard.
No, I'm just... I want to diversify it. You know, I really appreciate you. And I appreciate... What?
Nothing.
What?
Nothing. Strong start.
I got bookshelves for our anniversary. Did I already thank you for this?
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
That's the only thing.
I've been thinking a lot about my books because I've been able to... Okay, really, my PDA. I'm ready.
All right.
I really appreciate you, Mike, for opening up to me 2 days ago. I really do.
That was hard.
Because I know it wasn't easy.
I don't like doing that.
Because you like to be strong and you want to be whatever men have internalized that they have to be, which sorry for y'all, you know, but you want to be all those things and you let yourself come down. And I feel very defensive about you because you don't do that often. And I know that you're constantly being tasked with things to do, you know, by everybody, not just family or friends, but like work. And, you know, at some point that's the job. That's what you do. But you very rarely take a break to just be pissed, be upset, grieve, cry. And you did, you know, and you let it out. And it was a moment of vulnerability for you that you needed to release so that you could go on, you know, being strong. And I appreciate you for just sharing that moment with me. And, you know, you just constantly, you have to learn how to put into yourself what you get out. And that day you didn't eat, you had breakfast, you know, your calorie limit is like 3,000. You consumed maybe 500. It's not good. You literally had nothing else to give. And that's usually the case for you on many days. And it's very difficult to watch you be moved around when I know you aren't putting back into yourself what's being taken out. So I appreciate you for just sharing that with me and making an effort to focus on some self-care.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Your turn.
Well, I think that it's always good to talk about this in a positive way because I know that this is still something that you struggle with. And that's you being vulnerable. Mm-hmm. You show it in a lot of different aspects of our relationships randomly, depending on like how you feel or where you are. And I appreciate you being vulnerable with me because that's a large part of why we are able to communicate the way we do, why we're able to work through or past things the way we do. It's in large part a reason why we're together.
Yeah.
Is just not being afraid to be exposed finally or to like just give in to the fact that there's no way around it and you just gotta let go. I really appreciate you for doing that. With the serious things and the not serious things. For instance, you were very, very vulnerable a couple of hours ago before we started recording and I love it.
Are you talking about sex?
I'm talking about sex. Yeah, it was great. you know, not serious things. Like if we still had neighbors, they would have knocked on the wall.
No, they wouldn't have.
It's okay, because we weren't in the same room just now. Groot was worried outside.
He was not. Groot's always worried.
The point that I'm making is I appreciate you for allowing yourself to go there. More and more, you just start to just expose yourself as we go. I'm pretty sure you'll be a hot mess when we are 80. And you'll be extremely vulnerable and it'll be fun because I'll like what? Be blind and deafish by then.
You know what?
I'm joking. I appreciate you for being vulnerable, love. I know it's not easy because I don't like doing it either.
Thanks, babe.
But that's how we keep the wheels turning on this.
That's how. Lord help us. All right. Be sure to check out our website,
www.blackmillennialmarriage.com.
We are now and still on
iTunes,
Stitcher,
and Google Play.
Subscribe to our newsletter. The next giveaway will be at the end of the month. Sorry, you wanted to finish that?
I was going
to
say end of the month.
Okay.
I was doing
and like we haven't decided what we're giving, but it'll be nice.
It's always nice. We like giving stuff away.
We really do love giving stuff away.
Oh, and if you have any suggestions on stuff you want,
just let us know.
Tell us. Yeah, be like, hey, y'all need to give away some so-and-so.
Gas cards. Do y'all want gas cards? Do y'all want gas cards? iTunes gift cards?
Do you not drive? Would you just like to recharge your Metro card?
No, really.
For our New York audience.
What do y'all want? We'll put it on social media. Follow us on social media. Ha ha ha. Instagram, we are
Black Millennial Marriage.
On Facebook,
Black Millennial Marriage Podcast.
On Twitter,
Black Mill Mare Pod.
Thank y'all for listening. Be blessed.
Don't settle.
Fight clean.
Peace. We could go deeper.
I dig it. We're good, so yo, I hope you love it. I love it. I got no upper, but none above it. I focus on what the funk is. Don't know what's so fierce. I'm sipping talented.
Acast powers some of the world's best podcasts. Here's a show we recommend.
I'm Ned Fulmer.
I'm Ariel.
We're from the Try Guys, and we have a new podcast called Baby Steps. It's an irreverent parenting podcast, because parenting is not perfect.
We just had a newborn, baby Finn.
I got pooped on. Ariel has pink eye.
I don't have pink eye.
We talk to some experts. We even bring you 4 a.m. thoughts from our garden.
Oh my gosh, it's literally 4 a.m.
Just to go back here, I thought I got poop in my eye.
Yeah.
And that causes pink eye.
Parenting is a mess. We're a mess. You're a mess. Join us every Sunday. Listen to Baby Steps on Acast or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast recommends.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course, present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing board or...
Miro! All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.